The New York Times and other mainstream media carried fired White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci's expletive-laced tirade against his White House colleagues verbatim. In other years, that language would have been too vulgar to print or broadcast. Should journalists report everything the president or other public officials say, even if it's rude, crude, or untrue? Illinois Wesleyan University journalism professor James Plath is critical of both the media and news consumers. He tells GLT's Judy Valente the way reporters covered the Scaramucci incident reflects American journalism at a turning point.
I do think that in this case, the New York Times probably made a mistake in publishing that particular four-letter word. We've seen language creep into newspapers over the years, but the F-bomb, I mean, you can't even see more than one of those in a movie, in a PG-13 movie, and now suddenly you're getting it in a newspaper. And this is a mainstream newspaper.
It wasn't just the F word. It was also a very vulgar expression for the male anatomy as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was shocked to see it, to tell you the truth. But what's driving this is, I think, the fact that now mainstream media have to compete with the kind of blaring headlines that we're seeing from non-traditional news sources that are online. And I think we've seen this kind of language from non-traditional news sources over the last year. This is no surprise for them. It is a surprise for the New York Times. We're seeing our profession being kind of pushed into a new phase of what I would call another phase of yellow journalism.
We should note that not all mainstream media organizations did print these words. NPR chose not to use audio on that, for instance. However, have we crossed a line now that we can't go back on?
I don't know that that's the case. I think you could always go back. You could always roll it back. But they have regularized it. I think the problem, though, and I'm trying to get at the root of this whole problem, and I think it's pretty complicated, but I do think that look at the case of LeVar Ball. Here's a guy who's an obsolete athlete, and he's only gotten media attention for saying outrageous things because he's the father of a NBA draft pick. And the media are just following him around the same way as they did with Trump and the same way that they've done with other people. My point is, I think the media has become too personality driven. And whether they're giving the public what the public wants and the public is driving this, or whether it's the media that's chasing after personalities, that's a hard one to call.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that case, because I want to broaden it beyond the expletives of Anthony Scaramucci, who is no longer with the administration, who lasted 10 days after that expletive-laced tirade, to talk about just what the media covers. They cover every single tweet that comes from the president, and one could argue that a good number of them are very nasty. Is the media right to have to cover this? Do they have a responsibility to ignore some of the stuff?
Well, if they cover it, then you're going to continue to fuel the public's fascination with this type of language. What began really as a public reaction to over-political correctness, that's one of the things that led to or contributed to Trump's rise, the refreshing way that he seemed to people to be able to just speak his mind and say whatever other people wanted to be able to say but couldn't. But what began as this kind of speak your mind thing has now gotten into speaking way more than anybody really needs to hear and maybe wants to hear. So what you're going to end up with is a break point where people are going to say, as with Scaramucci, enough. Now, is it the media's obligation to keep feeding the public until they gorge on this, or is it the media's responsibility to cut it off long before that saturation point? I'm inclined to think the latter.
We're talking with James Plath, who is the R. Forrest Caldwell Chair and Professor of English at Illinois Wesleyan. He also has taught journalism at Illinois Wesleyan for the past 30 years. I want to go back to something you said earlier about yellow journalism. To me, yellow journalism was when newspapers, I mean, it was largely in the late 19th century, mid-19th century to late 19th century.
Mostly around 1900.
Early 20th century. Was newspapers really exaggerating things and sometimes even printing false things? That doesn't seem to be the case. The case seems to be news media is being accused of fake news if people don't like what they write. That's something different.
I do think a similarity, though, is in the degree of sensationalism. And I think that whether it's this coverage of, you know, foul language, or whether it's covering LeVar Ball and his antics, criticizing female refs, or whatever, saying he could beat Michael Jordan, or he's a better tight end than Gronk. I mean, none of these things deserve to be said, but they're said because the media now is pursuing a cult of personality. Yeah, they're personality driven as opposed to news driven, and I do think that tendency towards sensationalism does feel to me like another phase of yellow journalism. Same with the exaggerated headlines. How often have you seen a clickbait headline?
Clickbait headline?
Well, let's say that a story where the headline is provocative and the headline gets you to click on the story because it sounds like it's really racy, it's really shocking news, and then you get to it and you realize it's taken out of context or it's not as severe as that anyway. And that type of headline writing was typical of the period of yellow journalism.
Well, what do you want organizations like the New York Times, the Washington Post, NPR, CNN to do? If all of this information is out there anyway on all of these other news media sites and so-called news media sites, can you have some empathy as to the position that they're in?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think they're between a rock and a hard place here, to use a cliche. But I still think the only way out for journalism these days is to rely on the Society for Professional Journalism Ethics, to go back to those, to stick to them.
And they would be?
To first of all report the news accurately, to seek the truth and report it, to act independently, be accountable and transparent. I think those are all very important things, as is minimize harm.
You bring up a good point there, because the public somehow doesn't distinguish between those who are trained professional journalists and those who have some sort of a political background, political axe to grind, who portray themselves as journalists.
Right. That's where we start to get accusations of fake news, because you do have a heavily biased slant. And according to the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics, you are supposed to declare when you are biased and when you are in some ways filtering a story through something that's other than the objective.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. I'm here with James Plath, who is a professor of journalism at Illinois Wesleyan University. We're talking about the ethical struggles facing the news media. How can the public distinguish between who is a legitimate journalist writing an article and someone who is really writing from some sort of agenda?
That's a good question. And these days, I think that the safest answer is to stick with the mainstream newspapers, is to stick with the Wall Street Journal and the Christian Science Monitor and the New York Times. And even though the Trump people might disagree with me, CNN is not that far off the mark. I'm sorry. NPR is always right there. And when in doubt, BBC.
Another country to get your news.
Yeah, especially about America these days. It's actually a refreshing thing to do. And I mean, one of the things I'll do if I see a story and it seems outrageous to me, and I look at the source, and the source is, let's say, okay, slightly leaning left, Huffington Post. I'll look at that and I won't trust it immediately, simply because I do know it leans a little bit left. What I'll do then is I'll just look around. I'll go online and see if I could see the same story somewhere else. And if I see it on NPR, now I look at it and now it's coming out of the New York Times. Now I'm going to start to read all those stories and look for some sort of overlap.
One thing that you see increasingly is, for example, the Washington Post, the New York Times covering something that comes out of the administration or comes out of Congress, and then they'll debunk it in the same article. Well, if it needs debunking, should it be covered anyway?
At all.
At all.
Again, this gets into the whole issue that I take issue with now. It used to be that if someone made a claim, it didn't matter if it was a public official. It could be a senator. It could be a congressman. If that person made a claim that was unsubstantiated, unless a newspaper could substantiate that claim, it wouldn't be published. It wouldn't make it into a newspaper. These days, though, all anybody has to do is just claim something. Hillary did this. Hillary did that. And it's published, right? And so that's my contention with where journalism right now really has to fix itself.
But it is incumbent on the journalist to check that and
yeah,
to
but
check
we don't
out
do it
whether it's true.
Journalists don't do that anymore.
Is it a time thing?
Run with the, here's the deal. They run with a claim, and now for balanced reporting, now here's what new journalists think that they're doing. Now they're going to get someone to counter it. You know, it's almost like watching a speech from the president, and then you get the minority report, and then you get a 20-minute speech from the president, and then 2 hours of commentary of people going back and forth telling you what you heard or what you didn't hear.
Are we getting to the point where whenever we see a public official, do we have to have a fact-checking chyron underneath, running underneath what they say, or if it's in print, that we have to have a column alongside where we debunk or not what
they're
saying?
You would think that would help, but it wouldn't. And it hasn't. I mean, right before the election, there was a graphic that a third party, independent party, put together about truthisms. And I think it was Bernie Sanders scored the highest in terms of truthfulness, and followed by Hillary. And among the Republicans, Hillary Clinton, among the Republicans, it was John Kasich.
The Republican candidate.
Was the most truthful. And Trump ranked very low. But that didn't matter to the public. And again, it's because of this claim of false news. Trump was even challenging the fact checkers, the third party fact checkers. So that leaves the public in a situation where they don't know what to believe.
How long do you think it will take to rebuild some sort of confidence in the press among people who have bought into this narrative that the press is biased?
I think the trust will be rebuilt not by political reporting. I think the trust will be rebuilt by the press reminding the public that it doesn't just cover politics. It covers and protects consumers. You know, it covers corporations. It covers environment. It covers science. It covers education. It covers all aspects of our lives. And when there is a problem, whether it's local or whether it's national or whether it's state, the newspapers are the ones that are the watchdogs. And I think it will be reminding the public. It'll be through reminding the public that newspapers reclaim their place as a trusted source again. But I don't think it's going to happen if they just stay in this political arena. I think they're going to have to put a lot more resources into investigative reporting and in other areas.
James Blath is the past president of the Illinois College Press Association. He teaches journalism at Illinois Wesleyan University, and he's the R. Forrest Caldwell Chair and Professor of English at Illinois Wesleyan. Jim, thanks so much for coming in and talking about this.
My pleasure.
I'm Judy Valente.
Attitudes about the news media diverge sharply along political lines. According to a recent Pew Research Center, 89% of Democrats say the media plays a critical watchdog role in society. Only 42% of Republicans say the same. Before the 2016 presidential election, roughly the same percentage of Republicans and Democrats agreed on the importance of the media role.